I'm a passionate region woman because I believe that your geography is not an obstacle to your success.
I'm a passionate regional woman because to me, regional WA is real and raw.
My work gives me the opportunity to travel all over this incredible state and to meet the most amazing people, for which I'm incredibly grateful.
It's all those personalities that make up our diverse communities. It's the people that make here a vibrant place to live.
I believe regional communities cannot achieve economic prosperity without talented regional women living in rural Australia.
It's what makes regional WA the best place to live and love. And that's why I'm a passionate regional woman.
So Helen, thank you so much for joining me today. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your background?
My name's Helen Nockby. I was born in Perth, Western Australia, but I've spent majority of my time up in the Kimberley. I have connections to north and south of the state. So my heritage is Aboriginal, and my mother's connection is Noongar from down south, and my father's connection is Bardi Jawi from up in the north here. So got the best of both worlds pretty much.
Yeah, you're a bit of a good hybrid, I guess.
Yes. Connected everywhere.
Yeah. And can you tell me a little bit about that and where you're based now and what you're actually up to?
Yeah. So I'm actually based in Broome and have been for a couple of years. I've been working in the non-profit or, you know, non-government area for about 16 years now, and mainly working in that community development space, trying to empower local people across the regions, particularly the Kimberley region, in all life aspects, no matter what they kind of want to achieve, just trying to link people with different opportunities. My main role has been in the sport recreation field. And that's where I find I have a lot of connection with a lot of people across the regions.
Mm. I guess with that, do you want to talk to me a little bit about mental health awareness and what it means to you, and perhaps mental health awareness in the Kimberley and what sort of issues are being impacted up there?
Yep. So the first half of that question, mental health awareness, I don't think there's enough of it. So it's just understanding that everybody has their own, not struggles, but things to go through on a daily basis. And we need to acknowledge and recognize that some people might not be okay on the inside or on the outside, and how we can support each other to, you know, get people through everyday life. Mm. And the second half, in terms of the Kimberley, there's a lot of mental health kind of issues. Like we live remote and regional to the rest of Australia. Some places are quite remote where there's limited access to different services and support systems. There's also a whole heap of things that's been going on, particularly with the COVID pandemic and isolation. Some of those communities are still on, you know, lockdown isolations. But yeah, just trying to reach out and empower people to be able to say, these are services in your area. Or people like myself can go out and help facilitate that knowledge bearing. So, yeah, I think in terms of mental health, it's important. As long as your brain is functioning and in a good manner, that'll kind of help support the rest of your body, and everything else should follow. So we kind of go off the framework of Leon. So having a good spirit, good mind, good heart, as a collective, like Aboriginal framework, cultural perspective. So yeah, having good Leon, make sure that you're grounded and you know, your heart and your head are making good decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess with that, would you be happy to talk a little bit more, I guess, with Triple R women and what women in the Kimberley particularly are having the most issues with in terms of mental health?
Yeah, I think, you know, Triple R women and mental health, I know for myself, going through personal lived experiences without having access to certain, you know, people, organisations or services, some of those daily things become a struggle. I had postnatal depression living remotely for 4 years after I had my child. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there that kind of are in that space, if not worse. I was just lucky that I had a strong support system around me. But yeah, there's lots of things like, you know, having access from a remote region to the services, which I keep banging on about. The other one is just everyday life. So having children to look after, providing for the home, you know, having access to jobs as well. Some of the remote regional communities, sometimes there's not enough jobs in the communities, particularly for Aboriginal women. And also, you know, women in a whole, we kind of look after the community. So we don't just look after our families, we kind of extend that out. And it's not a narrow focused area where, yeah, we've got our finger in everything pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that's another thing, being a Triple R woman, particularly in the Kimberley, as you guys are the most isolated area, probably of regional, one of regional Australia's most isolated spaces. What does it mean to you to have the access to be able to firstly do the mental health first aid training, and what good of a resource can this provide your community?
Oh, it's been amazing that this has happened. Like, a mutual friend of mine gave my contact details to the Triple R network, and Kendall reached out to me and provided that opportunity to go down for the training. For the last 12 months, I've kind of been looking at that, but the expenses were so high, and to go, you know, to that point where Triple R network has partnered up with us to be able to provide me with that opportunity, it's been amazing. It's one less kind of hurdle to jump over to. That's been the biggest draw card. But what I hope to do is to go out to every remote community, Aboriginal community, across the Kimberley, and be able to facilitate some sort of educational space for them. So there's a lot of things that I need to learn as well, in terms of, you know, different language barriers and all of that kind of stuff. But the cultural mutual, you know, respect amongst us will make it a lot more easier. And given that I've worked in the region, across the region, for a long period of time and have those existing relationships established, I think this will be a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we just go back, and I want to talk about, a lot of people are aware of remote communities, but I think majority have no idea. And I think this is something that we as the Triple R network, but then also working with people like you who are so amazing, that's our chance to sort of create this awareness. Yeah. So do you want to just speak a little bit more about the remote communities, maybe even explain what it's like to go to a remote community, and then the language barrier, because it is such a, there are so many different languages. So I'd love for you to go into that a little bit more.
So, you know, given Perth is our capital city of Western Australia, I'm based in Broome, which is 2,000 odd kilometres away. And then my access out to remote communities from there goes anywhere between 200 kilometres plus. And that's all driving, apart from a plane from, you know, Broome to Karanara. But from there, again, you have to jump in your vehicle and drive out to the remote communities. The furthest for us is probably maybe Mullan next to Balgo. Balgo is about 500 kilometres from Halls Creek. And again, a drive from Broome to Halls Creek is 6-7 hours in a day. So we're talking long, long kilometres. So you can only imagine what services are out there. Most of the town hubs, the Broome, the Derby, Fitzroy Crossing, Halls Creek, Karanara, all have a school, a hospital, a police service. But then when you go out to the remote communities, it kind of dwindles off. And the service, the service delivery as well, sometimes is only once a month. So and some of these women or families are only having access to certain services once a month. Most of the communities also have a clinic, but then again, that's, you know, that's clinical kind of practice, not so much of the educational wellbeing approach, other than other major services that cover the Kimberley as well. So Language barriers. I mean, we've got many, many different languages. I think it's over 100 different languages across the region. Then you've got your different dialects of those languages on top of it. In the Fitzroy Valley alone, there's over 16 remote communities that are based around it. Some of the further ones are about 100 kilometres from there. And then, you know, Kimberley as a whole, we only have about 30, 40,000 people spread over a whole vast distance. And then majority of them are living in the town site. So it's quite a big area. And some places are really untouched. So, yeah, I feel we're quite unique in that sense. It is our strength because there's a lot of preservation of culture and language and all of that kind of stuff. But it also can be to our detriment in terms of, you know, providing good education, educational opportunities for our communities, service delivery.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a little bit more on the language barrier. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Balgo, for instance, they're our first language community. So they speak Gugudja. And I don't speak Gugudja, so majority of the time we have to get an interpreter to come along with us to come out to delivery, but we're quite lucky where the place I currently work, we have a local fellow from Halls Creek that goes out and delivers services to the community. But we did run like a women's football carnival last year and the year before out of Balgo, and that was based around, you know, taking leadership yarns out there, health and well-being. And having a kick around with the ladies and bringing the community together. And that was unique because, again, first language community is their mother tongue. And a lot of the women were talking Gugudja and we couldn't understand. So we had to enlist one of the AFL ex-players for the West Coast Eagles, Francis Watson, came out with us, and he's from there and speaks his mother tongue. So it was good to get him involved and be that middle person for us. And then, yeah, most of us mob as well, like the rest of the crew, speak a different language too there as well. So it was unique, but yeah, definitely special.
Yeah, it's such an interesting concept, the fact that there's so many different languages and there is such a diverse culture, and that within itself is a barrier for you to be able to go and communicate. And then you're trying to educate on mental health awareness. How do you go with that?
I don't go with it. I'm still learning. I learn every day. Like even the Fitzroy Valley, they have 5 different language groups in that one central hub.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And then you add Creole on top of it, which is an identified language group as well. So there's a whole heap of different aspects to the community you have to take into place. And then looking at the different words, because one word might mean multiple things, not a singular thing in English. So you kind of have to balance it out and make sure that you've got good relationships with community and people that can guide you. So it's always best practice to make contact with the local council and get direction from them or the chairperson, but 9 times out of 10 local council is a fantastic start. The local people sitting on the board wanting to make a difference for their community, so yeah.
And that's how you cultivate those connections to be able to reach those communities and then start to educate.
Yeah, definitely. And multiple sporting carnivals and events and things like that we happen to run. I even participate in them. I still play basketball and play footy and all of that kind of stuff. So I mean, if you look at a footy team, there's 35 people in a footy team that I have access to and I could potentially deliver this program to, you know. And that's quite powerful in itself, knowing that you have access to that many people and can help educate community at the tip of your fingers.
Yeah, that's such a good way to get involved, and then you're finding sort of similar interests and you're building rapport, and then you can go from there. It's sort of a building of a trust, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And people can establish you know, who they can rely on in their community or in their team as well. I was talking to I went to a session with Tracy Westerman, who's a top psychologist in Aboriginal mental health space, and she spoke about, you know, using a shadowing effect. And I really think that, you know, if someone's in need and we can be able to facilitate an educational program and people are able to identify key people in their community that they can rely on, then we can put those practices into place where, you know, if someone's feeling in need, there's five people that can support until that person is out of that mind space. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so incredible. What you're doing is an amazing thing. I'd love to know, how did the training go? What was the experience like, and what did you get out of the training?
Yeah, so the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Mental Health First Aid Facilitators course, it was in Perth last week. It went for 5 days, so quite intense. And we went through the certificate first with the facilitator, Mark Ortego from Mental Health Australia. And just broke down each individual unit, and also drew on our own lived experiences to be able to understand the different units. And then at the end of it, we had to present a unit ourselves. So because this is what we're going to deliver out into community. So to be an instructor and stand up and, you know, in front of your peers, we had 11 First Nation people in the room, which is quite powerful. And I really appreciated that this Aboriginal mental health first aid is, you know, run by us for us, because of the cultural lens that it comes from. Mm. Yeah, and I think that's powerful. I appreciate it. Because there are some things that are taken into different contexts, and for that to be acknowledged is just amazing.
Yeah, and like, you go back to lived experience, there isn't anyone better than yourself to be able to teach people in similar, you know, situations to you about that. It would be almost, it wouldn't be right coming from anybody else.
But also, like, being an Aboriginal person standing on my own country, being able to instruct that session, that's amazing, you know. And
yeah,
through our network has made that happen for me, alongside, you know, my workplace at the moment, Gandawa, and the people I'm going to interact with in future. So, you know, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. It's so good to see. And I can tell that you're super excited about it. How was it presenting for the first time after you had just gone through the course? What was that like?
A bit daunting, but yeah. I've got a little bit of experience because I umpire different sports and all of that kind of stuff. This is mainly making sure that I made it relatable to myself so that people, you know, understood where I was coming from, and then I was sticking to the content and delivering in a good, because I was looking for feedback, that I got it, so that when I come to community, I'm delivering in a good way, in a safe way as well. Yep, because that's the most important thing, making sure that the environment's safe for people to come and participate.
Yeah, absolutely. So when are you starting to conduct these trainings, and sort of how are you going to facilitate them in your way?
I think over the next 2 weeks I've got to order some resources first, and then I can start pinpointing some dates. So the way I would love to see it is backing on to some community sporting night. So I might go to Derby, for instance, and run a two-day workshop, and on the second day they have a netball night there, and I go and help umpire or something like that. So really using that sporting kind of push to be able to do it. And then people can see me in a different light as well. So, yeah.
And I think sporting or physical activity works well because it's already one step closer to being more mentally healthy, because physical exercise and mental health are such components that work well together. So you're already getting people who are a little bit aware of that factor in health.
I mean, releasing endorphins, you know. Awesome.
happy people.
But I think, like, just being a part of something, people love to be a part of something, and sport brings that. Some people, they might be the only person at home, but they can go down to the sporting, you know, field and be part of that family. So, yeah, there's yeah. different ways to look at it, and I think sport and recreation does a fantastic job in bringing people together, making sure people are connected and very community orientated.
Absolutely. I think you're doing a phenomenal place. For someone in a similar position to you, what would be your piece of advice for going and doing the mental health first aid training?
Oh, I would say go and do it. I had my own kind of expectations. It far exceeded when I went there, because I'm always a person that kind of, you know, takes opportunity as soon as I see it. But yeah, if anyone comes across an opportunity like this, just go and do it. It's all about self-learning, you know, and empowering yourself as well. But this is a different kind of skill set. Not so much a skill set, because you're like, we as people already know, you know, through lived experiences, what mental health is and what it's about. Mm-hmm. But this will teach us how we can educate the community and bring everyone along for the ride. Like, it's mm-hmm. not technical. We're not doctors. We're not anything like that. We're here to help educate the community and break down stigma. So, yeah, definitely, I would encourage anybody to go and do it.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is amazing, Helen. I think you are by far a woman in your community that people will look up to already. And having this next, I guess it's the another level to your career and how you're impacting the community. And I think that that's really special. And I think a lot of people will get so much out of it. We're so excited to see what you do with it and how you are giving back to the Kimberley, because it's such a special region of WA and it's really exciting. So can't wait for you to do your first one. Are you excited?
Yes, yes. My first couple actually are in partnership with the Triple R Network. So that's going mm-hmm. to be really excited. Exciting for me because, number one, I get to, you know, facilitate on behalf of you guys, but also hone my skills before I get out into remote communities. So I would imagine the first couple of people or sessions that come in will help steer me in the right direction when I go out to the bigger areas. So. Or the more remote, not the bigger, the more remote areas. Definitely.
I'm more vast.
Yes, the more vast.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. We're so excited. Thank you so much for your time today. That was amazing. you're great. What you're doing is just so awesome. Everything is just, yeah, you should be feeling really proud.
Thanks, Lavinia.